Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Before we start the service, we always like to stand up and greet each other. If you see any visitors around, please. You already did your visit. Hello. Splitting headache. I got to find out how many of you are going, so I know whether to get a van or not. Oh, okay, I won't be in the party. So I'll have to just drop my car up and clean it up. I'll figure all that out. That's fine if you want to. No problem. Okay, well, I'll have to ask something. Okay, I'm sorry. We were conversing up here ourselves. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? Okay. Announcements. I know Miss Sherry's waiting back there to say. Okay. Bazaar. Thank you, Sherry. Miss Louise. Thank you. Any more announcements?
Somebody lost some barbecue that we never could find.
Julie.
Remind the people for their safety, change the battery in your smoke detector. It's a good time.
Okay. Change the battery in your smoke detector when the time changes.
We'll be going to work on that lady's house in Fayette next week. Some of the youth are going to be here on Saturday morning to come up. I'm going to go up on Friday. If anybody would like to help with that, just let me know and coordinate with Pam on what time they're going to leave next Saturday. We'll try to get that lady's house sighted so she can get in before cold weather.
Okay. The youth went to Safe Haven Shelter last Sunday night. I think they enjoyed themselves. We just went and played with the kids and spent some time, gave the parents a break. So it was a really good experience. It's something that we're going to be doing once a month. So that's something that they're doing. Anyone else? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sam. Prayer request. I'm not quite with this morning. I've got a splitting sinus headache in mind. I can't function. Steve. Okay. Lois Alamore. Okay. Anybody else? Anyone else? My cousin-in-law, Jerry Tidwell, lost his father this week. And if you guys would pray for me, I've been having some problems with plantar fasciitis. And sometimes it's okay, but Halloween night I was walking like this. I look like I was trying to. It is so painful, and there's not anything you can really do for it. So just pray for me, because I got too much to do to not be able to walk. So just pray for that to go away. Okay. Any more prayer requests or praise reports? Karen? Okay. Good. Good. Okay. Paul Tucker had surgery on his eye yesterday, and it went well. Anybody else? Okay, now, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and pause for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Our gathering words are printed in your bulletin. They are responsive. It comes from Psalm 16. Yeah, please stand. Through stories of faith and acts of grace, we are reminded that God is always here.
By His presence, we are guided.
Through God's words, we are instructed. With God's Spirit, we are formed. Come, let us lift our voices in praise and offer our lives in service to God. God's love is forever. God's Word is with us. Hear God's Word calling us. All who humble themselves will be exalted.
Turn down your hymns to hymn 76. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of God, God in me, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our peace, that bids our sorrows cease. His music is the sinner's ears, His life and death and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoners free. He is one of victory. Here we stand, His praise He brought, your risen tongues employ. Let me hope your Savior come, and lead me make your joy. My greatest master and my God,
a minute's bow for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come with thankful hearts, thankful that You have broken the power of sin over us. Thanking You, Father, that You come and abide with us, especially when we meet in your name with other believers, fellow Christians. But Lord, we thank you that you don't separate yourself from us when we depart from this place, that you go with us each day. And Lord, we would come this morning asking you to help us to be more thoughtful of going with you rather than you always just going with us. But Lord, when we fail to follow your path, your leadership, your direction, your spirit, Lord, we thank you that you do not leave us by ourselves, that you're always with us to watch over us, protect us. For Lord, we need it so much. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the church through which we have come to know about Jesus. And thank you that you have called us to be a service to your kingdom through what we know here on earth as the church. Bless our efforts. Bless us in our ministry for your kingdom's work. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name, now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Now comes the time in our service when we state our faith by reading the Apostles' Creed. It is in unison. It's on the screen and on page 716 in your hymnal. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered and was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Call to confession this morning comes from 1 Chronicles 21, verse 17. David said to God, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. A prayer of confession is in unison. Eternal God, in every age you have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served you in faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised in Jesus Christ. Amen. Your assurance of forgiveness comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. The next hymn is Amazing Love. It will be on the screen. Time to share the sacrament of the Lord's Supper.
If you'd like to follow Scripture in the New Testament, the writing of the Apostle Paul, the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We'll begin with verse 23. The Apostle Paul instructing the church in the way to celebrate or observe the sacrament. Says, I received from the Lord, but I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The elders will join me at the altar. I'll ask Steve and Melanie, Louise. We have other active elders present at this hour. For Mr. West and Pete and Simon. You who are believers in Jesus, are you who are trusting in Jesus for your eternal life, your forgiveness, that his death was paid for your sin, the suffering that led up to his death, and then when he breathed his last, he said it is finished, that he gave up the ghost, that his work on the cross was sufficient to pay for your sins. So we come this morning remembering his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. And you who both trust in that or believe in that for your sins, we invite you, even encourage you, to eat and drink with us as we eat from the table of the Lord. The bread, let us offer thanks as we read in the scripture. Jesus offered thanks. Paul recorded that as well as Matthew and Mark and Luke. Lord God, as we come this morning, we offer thanks for Jesus. And that he was willing to come from heaven. And you were willing for him to leave heaven and come to earth and offer himself as a sacrifice. A sufficient sacrifice for all sin of all time. And we come this morning with much thanksgiving, much appreciation, much praise to you, O God. And we thank you, Lord, for a way to remember again and again. Lord, we confess, and you know, that our memories are so short, and we do forget. You have given us a way to not forget, to be reminded, and not only to be reminded of your death, but remember that you have promised to return. Because death could not hold you. You rose, you ascended, and you promised to return, to claim us from this earth for heaven. And we offer our prayer of thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. Please eat, remembering how much you love and serve your neighbor. The cup, the fruit of the vine, after the supper, Jesus offered the cup to the disciples. He offered the blessing over it. Lord God, we thank you for your blood. Though it be crimson, when it's applied to our lives and faith, it makes our being white as snow. We have claimed your blood for our cleansing. Lord, we come this morning to remember that you shed it just for us, for your honor, and to bring glory to you. Thank you that you were willing to give it on our behalf. In Jesus' name. Jesus' blood shed for the remission of my sins. And for yours. Elders, you will serve the people. Thank you. praise and thanks to you, O Lord Most High.
Excuse me. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Would our ushers please come forward?
Join us for prayer. Would each of you just offer thanks to God for His blessings of the material nature upon our lives? But also for the spiritual blessings. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture lesson comes this morning from Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. It is printed in your bulletin. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called Teacher, for you have one Teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You notice that passage started with then. Then what? Then this followed Jesus back and forth with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 20, chapter 21, chapter 22, one would hit him, another would hit him. They would kind of alternate, or one Pharisee and then another Pharisee would step forward. And he answered every question or every objection they had to his teachings. And then he began to talk to the crowds and to his disciples. Doesn't mention he was still talking to the Pharisees. He was talking about them. And the crowds and the disciples had observed. You see in your bulletin an insert concerning loaves and fishes. The boxes for loaves and fishes are green boxes, the same as last year. It used to be called something else, the love loaf, but now it's called loaves and fishes, and they are right by the exit door where most of you will go out on this side when you depart from the sanctuary. Would you take one and would you read about the loaves and fishes program from your insert, and would you use this as your personal service project, which we're going to talk about this morning. Not just the loaves and fishes. I won't even mention that. It may be in passing. Maybe I will. But we're going to talk about the 11th verse of this passage this morning. And it's about a servant role. And that's what being a Christian is. It is a servant role. The people that Jesus was talking about, they had made it something less than, or however you look at it, something much more than a servant role. They were being served. Complaints. How many of you have ever complained about something? Anything? Have you complained about anything? Well, I grew up hearing a lot of complaints, especially from other teenagers. And I'm not just picking on the teenagers this morning. But I was a teenager. That's when I was growing up. And I was running with teenagers. And I grew up hearing a lot of complaints from the teenagers. And we complained just about everything. Or we complained about just about everything. Do we still hear that, have that today? We don't got nothing to do. We're always picking on me. Or why do I have to do this? Have we changed in 50 years too much? We're about the same. Still complain? My teenagers respond to me. Even early young adults, college students. And some of the complaints were what the Bible teaches and what is the role of the Christian. The complaint went something like, the Bible is always telling us what we cannot do. Have you ever thought about that? I heard it a lot as a teenager. Or, So much of the Bible tells us what not to do. I remember it being from teenagers, when I was a teenager, and maybe my memory is so vivid because I was doing some of the complaining myself. And I kind of inscribed my complaints upon my memory. I was complaining about what we were not to do as God's people. If I wouldn't say it out loud, especially in the Sunday school class, I was thinking it. Probably. Maybe more surely. But the parents that were quoting the Bible, not for themselves always, but for our guidance, they were stressing the things that we shouldn't do and must not do for our protection, to keep us in line, but to protect us from harm, knowing the dangers that were out there. And we'll go read the Ten Commandments, and every Sunday school class, I guess, somewhere along the way, at least back then and hopefully now, taught the Ten Commandments, the shout nots. And it seemed to so many people, and it seemed to me, like it was a no, don't world. Have you ever felt like that? Do you feel like that now? We were not only living in, but stranded in a no, don't world. And I'm guessing that the situation hasn't changed too much. Along with the complaints about what we couldn't do, or the Bible, what the Bible taught about what we couldn't do, it was at least implied that we wished that the Bible would tell us what we can do. Praise be to God, the Bible does tell us what we can do if we read far enough. Yes, the Bible is not a bait and switch document. Come on in and everything will be lovely and you'll just enjoy life so much. And when you get in, we forgot to tell you about the difficult parts of being a Christian. But even today, some people are baiting and switching in preaching the message of Jesus. Those are the false teachers, if you will. They will bait you with how good life will be, and when you become one of their disciples, they lay upon you all the demands. But I want to tell you up front, there are demands on the Christian. The Bible teaches what we can't do, but it also teaches what we can do. The Bible teaches what we can do, but it also teaches the difficult aspects of being a Christian. And I'm convinced that the church has the responsibility of presenting both sides. Yes, the Bible tells us what not to do, things that will keep us out of heaven. The Bible tells us what we should not do, things that brings displeasure to God. But it also stresses more and more, I think if you go count them, what the Christian should do, what the person who is trusting in Jesus for forgiveness, what they should be doing, whether you be a teenager or a 80-year-old or a 60-year-old or a 30-year-old. And the lesson today is about both. What we can do and what we should not do. The shalt not, thou shalt not, and the do this. And I know I must hurry. The problem is, sometimes we are not any happier hearing, this is what you need to be doing, this is what God calls you to do. We're not any happier hearing that than we were when we were hearing, don't do this or that. And the point I'm getting to is, Christians are called to the role of a servant. What? I thought we were called to riches and automatic prosperity. No, Christians are called to the role of a servant. And then we say, oh my, why did we have to ask? Why did we ask? We were thinking of more positive things, were we not? Where we said we wanted to hear what the Christian can do. We were thinking of parties and picnics and singing and trips and dancing and fun things. Let me say, these are all a part of the Christian life. Fun things. Dancing and picnics and trips. And you can just read the life of Jesus. Those picnics and banquets and trips, walking, or a donkey with his modes of transportation. But it was fun things, as we see fun. But it was also, his life was also a life of a servant. But being a servant is not so bad. When we consider that the role of a servant is out of appreciation and out of thanksgiving for what God has done for us through Jesus, then even serving becomes a positive thing about being a servant. Let's think about being a servant, if you will. We serve God the Father and Jesus the Son when we do things just for Him. We serve God when we worship. And I think our gathering here is part of our service to God. We serve God when we go to God in prayer. We serve God when we go to His Word and study, learn what He calls us to do, and learn all about Him and all about Jesus and all about ourselves and how we need Him. We serve God when we are singing to Him. We serve God when we are playing an instrument for His glory. We are serving God when we bring praise, words of praise and thoughts of praise. And we serve God when we bring our tithe and even those who receive the tithe. Think of tithing for a moment, if you will. It is the fall. The budget committee has met. They have proposed a budget to be sent to the session at the November meeting. Tithing. My personal testimony. And don't say it's always been like this. But my testimony has, I think, has improved over the years. But for me, tithing is a joy. Tithing may even be called a fun thing for me. Tithing is a pleasure, and offerings are more of a pleasure than tithing is, because I am tithing out of gratitude for what God has done for me. Not so He will do something, but for what He has already done. God saved me through Jesus Christ from a terrible life. There is no question, if I could look back at where I was headed, even as a 7 or 8 year old in my family, it would have been a terrible life. And God reached down to to a little local church to the side of the road down in Mississippi, rural Mississippi, and save me from that terrible life here on earth and from spending eternity in torment. So for a good life here and for an eternity with God and a way of not being tormented, I'm thankful. So I tithe out of appreciation. He blessed me also with a great congregation of people. And y'all have allowed me to serve. I start my 22nd year today. 22 years ago, November the 1st, this is the second I know, but the way the Sunday is on, November the 1st, I preached my first sermon from that pulpit over there in the gym. And y'all have allowed me to, you who were here then, have allowed me to hang around that long. And others have come. So I've been so blessed. And I'm so thankful. So I'm so willing to tithe that we've had a great 21 full years. And I can't give God enough for that. People to work with. And people with which we can pool our resources and do so much for the community. And who was it giving that testimony just a few minutes ago as we started this service? How we were working together? Who gave that? Louise. Thank you, Louise. And we were. Some of us were dragging by 6 o'clock. But that's okay. We were working together for the good of the community. I'm thankful for the youth ministry. The youth that God has sent our way. So out of appreciation for that. The children that we've been blessed to minister to and work with. And the aged. And the senior citizens of this church. Once a month, we at least go eat. If you're not going, we'll meet second Wednesday. We'll go somewhere and fellowship and eat. And then, we don't only work with those people around the world, but we get to help people, in our community, we get to help those people around the world. The Loaves and Fishes program. That's the joy. God has given me enough food to eat. Maybe too much. God has given me enough clothing to wear. I try to dress somewhat neat each day. He's given me a house to live in, and even one that I can call our own. He's given me transportation. It's always junky inside, but it gets me there and back. He's given me friends. He's given me more friends. And he has helped me through some terrible times. And I'm appreciative. So it's a joy for me to serve God through tithing of the resources that he has blessed me with. Two great examples of service. Well, a third one. The saints who have gone before us. Yesterday was All Saints Day. This is the closest Sunday to it. Where we, in some churches, they remember the saints who have gone before. So quickly run through your mind the saints that ministered to you through your life up until this time. Saints who have gone before us. And then the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul referred to himself as a servant. A servant. He referred in the opening words or opening greetings of three of his letters, he called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. In Philemon, he called himself even a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then in Thessalonian letter, 1 Thessalonians, he wrote of his work among the people where he had to work a secular job to earn enough to live on so he could minister to the people in Thessalonica. And Paul goes on to say not only was he a servant, but he says Jesus came to serve. In 1 Timothy, he speaks of Jesus Christ who called him. Jesus called him to service. And also he speaks of God in 2 Timothy. He says, I thank God whom I serve. So we find that great saint of old who has gone before us, a man of service. But then we come to Jesus. Jesus was a servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on himself the very nature of a servant. And then back in the Old Testament, it was prophesied or predicted that the Messiah would be a servant, not a king on a throne, but a servant. The throne of our hearts, but not a throne, an earthly throne. Isaiah 42:1, Isaiah 49:6, Isaiah 49:7, Isaiah 52 verse 13, Isaiah 53 verse 11, and then in Isaiah 53:6, the prophet said, God laid on him the guilt and the sin of every one of us. God laid on Jesus, the suffering servant, the guilt and the sin of every one of us. The role of a servant. We are serving God. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. We serve Him when we serve our fellow man. We serve God when we serve the least of our fellow man. Read Matthew 25. We serve God when we build wheelchair ramps, like John Rippey did yesterday, or we started working on it. We serve God when we deliver meal on wheels, and I know we have two families here who do that regularly. We serve God when we teach about God in Sunday school. We serve God when we teach about Jesus. We serve God when we teach about living the Christian life. We serve God when we put siding on houses. And we serve God when we go and work at a safe haven shelter. And God continues to call us to service for Him. Sometimes it's a loud call, but sometimes it's a soft call. More often it's a soft call, a tender call. Let's think about that as we sing 326, the first verse, Jesus is calling. The person who trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we all have a calling to serve. Maybe you haven't heard the calling to serve because you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So that's the calling that I would extend first this morning. Just to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Trust in what He did on the cross. He died to pay for your sin. Trust softly, tenderly, He is calling. And then that calling to serve as a Christian. Hear that call also. Serve in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.